We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 today, and we last Sunday had a devotional from Hebrews, or was that two Sundays ago? I can't remember now. We did a devotional and then a virtual fellowship time afterwards from Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews 11 is building on themes from chapter 10 about the sufficiency of Christ and His sacrifice, and the call to be encouraged and drawing near as the day approaches and not shrinking back and so forth. And our title for today is this: Living by Faith in Uncertain Times. As Christians, we're called to live by faith in general. And we're living in uncertain times and challenges and so forth that go with it. And we've turned here to Hebrews chapter 11. And we are looking at a passage that is known as the Hall of Fame for the heroes of the faith. And next Sunday we'll be looking at Hebrews 12, with the call to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And today's passage and message will help set the stage for that. So, living by faith in uncertain times. And we're going to start off by reading verse 1. And then I will be referring to verses back in chapter 10 and chapter 11 as we go. So here we go, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, a well-known verse to many of us. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's pray. Father, we praise You as the God who is faithful and true. We praise You for the call to live by faith. And Father, we also ask that You would inspire this message and encourage us, that we would be a people who are living by faith and encouraging one another as we do so. May Your Spirit work in power now, in Jesus' name. Amen. First key point. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Knowing God who promised is faithful. This first part of verse 1, saying two main things about faith. And the first one is that it's the assurance, or you could say the substance, of things hoped for. Faith, at a very basic level, is a belief. And the Christian faith is a belief in God, the Creator, the Eternal Sovereign One, and a faith in His character, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and His gospel message, and God's unfolding plan. And this faith is not just a belief intellectually, but one that changes the heart, and one in which we are trusting our lives in the hands of God. In a radical way. It's a belief that implies a complete trust. Perhaps some of you have heard the illustration by Charles Blandon, who back in 1859, I'm not sure how much of the story might have got exaggerated, but the principle stands. He went across Niagara Falls on a tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow, and the crowds loved it. And then he asked, who believes that I could have someone get in the wheelbarrow and push it across the tightrope? And the crowds cheered. But then he asked, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? That's biblical faith. You entrust your life in the hands of a God that we cannot see. And we are doing so knowing that God is faithful. He's the God who has promised. And this is not a blind trust or a blind leap of faith or leap in the dark based on just a wishing very hard. But it's a trust in a God who has revealed Himself through His Word, through His Son Jesus Christ, through the gospel message. And He confirms that to us through one another in our fellowship with each other. And if we read ahead here in Hebrews 11, verse 2, for by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. These people of the Old Testament days trusted, they believed in God. And verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Biblical faith is a trust in God, the God that we cannot see. And here's an example of it. God spoke and creation came into being. The Word of God is powerful. Hallelujah. And biblical faith is an assurance of things that are hoped for. As Christians, we experience in part the blessings that God has for us of eternal life, of salvation, of being part of His eternal kingdom, even as we wait for those blessings to come in their fullness when Jesus returns. So biblical faith, it's an assurance of things that we're hoping for that we don't have yet, and we have an assurance because God who is faithful is true. God who's true is faithful. We can't see Him. But we have an assurance because of God and what He has promised is coming. Hallelujah. We know that God who promised is faithful. So we, and let me just say, one of the best things we can do to have this type of assurance in what we're hoping for that hasn't come yet is to feed on the Scriptures, including the Old Testament. When we read through the Old Testament, even without knowing it, our sense of trust in God, no matter the circumstances, increases. As we feed on the New Testament and we see the glory of God comes shining through Jesus, our sense of faith increases. So we should read the Scriptures on a daily basis, not just because we should, and not just to know how to live, but this is part of how our faith increases, and we have an assurance of things hoped for. By feeding on the Scriptures, as well as encouraging one another and praying for one another and all the things that go with it. So first, faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for. And it's sure, it's certain, because God who promised is faithful. Number two, faith is the conviction of things not seen. As Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. There's a day coming we're going to walk by sight, a biblical sight. The first part of verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The second part, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. As believers, we have a conviction. We have an assurance that what God has promised, what we hope for, it is coming, even though we don't have it yet. We also have a conviction about God and His truth and His promises, even though we haven't seen these things. We have not seen God, but we have a conviction. God has given us testimony, first of all, through creation. We can't figure out God through creation, but creation speaks to God, the Creator's existence. We also have a conscience that speaks to the existence of God and our accountability to Him. But God, in His graciousness, has intervened. He has come into our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is made known to us through the gospel message. And we have a conviction about these things, even though we haven't seen them. As 1 Peter says, that we believe in Jesus and we love Jesus, even though we haven't seen Him. And this is a supernatural work of God, that if we're a Christian, we already have this, but sometimes we need to be reminded of it. Are we living by faith in uncertain times? Part of that faith includes we have an assurance of things we are hoping for that haven't come. We have a conviction of things that we have not yet seen. And there is a power and a joy when we walk by faith in general and during uncertain times. And part of the way, ironically, that our faith increases is by walking in faith and living by faith. And sometimes we're holding back because we're lacking in faith, and ironically, part of the way we grow in our faith is to step out and so forth. So this faith, it's a conviction of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. But we also have an assurance of things hoped for, and that precious hymn, "It is well with my soul," which my mom reminded me last week, or I think she put in the comments section, that was played at my Grandpa Hendrick's funeral, which I had forgotten. It's so precious, "When peace like a river." And that last verse, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, The trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul. Right now we're walking by faith, not by sight. There's a day coming when the faith shall be sight. Hallelujah. We have an assurance of things hoped for. We have a conviction of things not seen. Number three. Live by faith and do not shrink back. Delighting in God's salvation and favor. Today our main verse is Hebrews 11 verse 1. And I'm also commenting on a few passages after and before, which help put Hebrews 11 1, a well-known verse by many Christians, it helps put this in perspective. Back up for a moment to the end of Hebrews 10. It's a powerful, convicting passage that sets the stage for Hebrews 11, this Hall of Fame, Heroes of the Faith passage and chapter, which is awesome. But when you read the end of Hebrews 10, it gives an intensity to Hebrews 11 and chapter 12. Here's how Hebrews 10 ends, starting in verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, that's Jesus, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is a strong exhortation. And it's helpful to remember the whole counsel of the Word of God, for example. Many times we rightly like to emphasize the unconditional love of God. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that God demonstrated his love for us in that. God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. It's a love we can't earn. Hallelujah. But we also need to emphasize the other side of the coin. And that is that God delights, he takes pleasure in his children when we walk by faith, when we believe him by faith, because that gives him glory. That's also what's good for us. But notice again, verse 38 from Hebrews 10. My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I pray that we are not a people that are shrinking back. We get afraid, we get discouraged, we get depressed, we get tired. May we not shrink back. Let us keep following Jesus by faith and not shrink back and not miss out on the pleasure of God in our lives, delighting in his salvation that we taste of now. We're waiting for it to come in full. And his favor, which is experienced in part when we live by faith. Number four, obey God's call, not knowing where we're going. Looking forward to our heavenly home. Jump ahead to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. This is part of the Christian life in general, and right now we're living in times when we don't know what tomorrow or the next week or the next month's going to bring. We're understandably concerned. Part of our call as Christians, while we work hard and we speak up and so forth, is to obey God's call. And yes, in one sense, we do know where we're headed ultimately. I'll come to that in a moment. But in terms of our day-to-day lives, like Abraham, he was called to go out and he didn't know where he was going. May we be living our lives on a daily basis and as a whole, where we are following God by faith. There's a lot of unknowns about today, a lot of unknowns about tomorrow, a lot of unknowns about the future. And sometimes when we go through a crisis like we're in, it increases the awareness that we have of how fragile we are and vulnerable we are and of how uncertain the times are that we're living in. But God is certain. He is true. Nothing catches him by surprise. Let's obey his call to follow Jesus by faith as the people of God, loving our neighbors, encouraging one another, and so forth. While we're not quite sure what tomorrow's going to bring, that's always true, but right now we have an increased sense of that. And we're wondering, how long, O Lord? Let's pray. Let's work hard. Let's also obey God. Let's be like Abraham, who obeyed God not knowing where he was going. And he was looking forward to his heavenly home. By verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And let me just say, if you're listening or watching today, and you don't have a sense of this hope, or a sense of this faith in Jesus, I want to encourage you. You can reach out to me, message me on Facebook, or our contact information is on the website. And ask, what does it mean to put my faith in Jesus? To live by faith, if you're not sure what that means. And if there's a sense of emptiness or loneliness or a wanderingness or fear in your life, and you've not come to know the living Christ, or perhaps you have a basic idea of what that means and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you haven't got into that wheelbarrow that's being pushed across the tightrope on Niagara Falls, you have not entrusted your life in the hands of God, you can do that right now as I'm preaching. You can cry out and say, Jesus, I believe that you're Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive my sins. And I acknowledge that you're Lord. I surrender my life to your Lordship. I ask that you bless me to become a child of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, living that in the fellowship of the church, so that I might have the assurance of what I'm hoping for, the conviction of what I don't see. Last point, number 5. Believe God to be faithful regardless of circumstances. Verse 11, which brings us back to some of the main themes of verse 1. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. This verse, for some, can read, we want to be careful not to gloss over it. For some people, they'll stick right out. But when you read about some of the other passages about being sawed in two or the walls of Jericho come falling down, sometimes some of these other verses, the power, we can miss it. Here is a woman who is 90 years old when she first gives birth to Isaac. We see in Genesis chapter 17. At this point, Sarah is 89 and Abraham is 99. 24 years earlier, God gave a promise to them that they would have a son, Isaac. 24 years later, that promise hasn't come true. But here Hebrews tells us, we get a little more information that Genesis doesn't tell us, that part of the reason Abraham and Sarah had this child, Isaac, is that she was a woman of faith, and she believed God to be faithful who had promised, even though she's 89 years old, and then turns 90, and Isaac is born. And in a way, that points for us, not just that if we wait long enough, we get what we want, because it also speaks to the fact that the ultimate blessings we're waiting for will come when Jesus returns, even as God blesses us in this life, according to his will and his timing, and his plan, not our own. It is my prayer today that for those of us that are living in trying circumstances, and it can be for different reasons, and then, I mean, we have tough things in life as it is, and then when we're going through a trial individually, and then on a macro national level or global level, there's a pandemic that hits, it intensifies the trials we already have. It was my prayer that we would believe God to be faithful regardless of our circumstances, that we would follow the example of Sarah, who at the age of 90 believed God to be faithful, and she ended up giving birth to Isaac. A key event in salvation history and an inspiring example for you and I. So by the grace of God, may we be a people who are living by faith in uncertain times. May we be encouraged. May we have an assurance of what we're hoping for. Jesus is coming back and all the blessings that go with it. May we have a conviction of things we can't see, knowing we walk by faith and not by sight, but there's a day coming that'll be reversed. May we obey God's call, not knowing where we're going, as we live by faith. May we believe God, like Sarah did, to be faithful, the God who promised, regardless of our circumstances. Let's pray.